And now the Lord is Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness. Amen? With ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen? Let's read that again. This is good. And now the Lord is the Spirit. You know, Scripture tells us that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. When I ended my sermon a couple weeks ago, it was for a prayer for the empowerment of the Spirit. Not asking if anybody wanted to be baptized in the Spirit, emphasizing that everybody needs to be baptized in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in us to empower us to be transformed. So now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. And we pray for an outpouring of your presence here in this moment, in this time, as we open your word, as we read your word, as we digest your word. Father, transform us into your likeness with ever-increasing glory. Make us more like you. Do the work in us, Lord God, that we cannot do in and of ourselves. It has to be from you, Holy Spirit. So we pray that you would release and breathe your breath, O God, the breath of life, your power into this word, into this time, that we would be transformed, we would be changed, we would be encouraged, and we would be strengthened in our walk with you. And Lord, we love you. We love you so much. With your walk with God, I know it is with mine. I know I wonder, so I assume you wonder, unless you've got this Christian thing figured out, this God relationship thing figured out. Do you ever wonder why it is that we just keep doing the things that we keep doing that are not of the Lord? We keep falling in to maybe it's a bad reaction, maybe it's a snap reaction because you're under pressure, and then something comes out of your mouth and you're like, ah! You know, blew that witness, blew that opportunity. Or there's joking going on around you, and then you like kind of let your guard down and you get involved in the joking. Next thing you know, coarse language is coming out of your mouth. Or who knows? You name it, you know what yours is. I know what mine is. But we're tripping up. And here it says we're being transformed into His likeness. And we all see that we're not transformed into His likeness as much as we want to be, right? Who here has reached the place to where you're transformed into the likeness of Christ, to where you're totally satisfied? Any volunteers? because we keep walking this walk and we keep tripping, we keep falling, but God continues to keep working in us and continues to keep transforming us. So today, I guess you can guess what I'm going to talk about: transformation. And transformation, let's see, what is next? I don't want to go out of order here because I've got everything in order. How are we transformed? It's a process that kind of baffles me, but I'm getting a better understanding of it now that I've digested this for the past few weeks. But I want to learn more naturally, and I'll share with you what God has given me relative to how are we transformed into His likeness. What does this walk actually look like as we're being transformed? You know, what part does God play? What part do we play? You know, does transformation, is it God's responsibility to transform us, or is it our responsibility to transform us? Right? The answer to that is in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So whose responsibility is it? to transform us, to help us to, or to cause us to act in accordance with his good will. It's ours because it says, work out your own salvation. We have a responsibility in this. We just don't get saved and sit back and God transforms us as we do nothing. But there it also says, for it is God who works in you. So we have, the answer to the question is yes, it's God, and yes, it's you. But I want us to take a paradigm shift in our mind. And realize that Luke said it today. It's like he preached my sermon. I told Tom, you know, we might as well go home. Luke just, you know, shared. He took my notes. God downloaded my notes into Luke's brain during worship, and Holy Spirit spoke. It was like, that's awesome. I love it. You know, I love that. I love that when that happens. When we're born again, when we're saved, we come out of the realm of darkness into his glorious light. We're transformed in our spirit totally, 100%. Your spirit man is who the Holy Spirit communes with. Do you ever wonder how God could place his spirit inside of you? The sinful, I know me, sinful wretch that I am. I look at myself and I see the things I do and some of the things I think. And I'm like, how can God take his holiness and put it inside of me? Because he says he can't be in the presence. Sin cannot be in his presence. He has to have perfection in his presence, yet he's chosen to place his presence in us. And that presence can only abide in us when we are born again. When we're born again, Holy Spirit comes and takes residence with inside of us, but he takes residence inside of our spirit. Our spirit is brought to life. We are given a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, amen, he is a new creation. What? The old is gone, and the new has come. Now, if the old you is gone when you got saved, why are you still wrestling with the old you? Same with me. If the old me was gone and the new has come and I'm totally transformed in my mind, in my heart, the way I think, the way I act, then why do I still act in sinful ways and think in sinful ways? So here it's talking about the old being gone and the new coming, meaning that your spirit has been rebirthed and your spirit has been made totally whole so that Holy Spirit can come and reside in you and God can place his perfect spirit into his spirit, which he perfected in you. So your spirit man is what gives you relationship with God. What is it? I'm not sure where this one is where it says, the things of God are of the spirit, and the natural man cannot discern them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have the spirit within you to understand the Bible, to understand God, because they're spiritually discerned. If you don't have Holy Spirit residing in you, you're not going to understand anything of what the Scripture says. Also, when we get saved, we're dead to our sin. We're told to keep dying to our sin, but we're also dead to our sin. In Colossians 3:3, for now you died, past tense, and your life is right now hidden with Christ in God. Amen? So what died? Our old spirit. The spirit gone. The new spirit brought to life. We're declared holy. We are declared righteous. We are declared sinless. Think about that for a minute, right? It is because of him, Jesus Christ, that you are, or it's because of the work that God has done, that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. We've been declared sinless. See, God isn't bound by time. We're bound by time. Luke made reference to that this morning also. God is not bound by time. God sees our failure, but it doesn't necessarily upset him and freak him out because he's got to figure it out. If this is time right here, God existed. This is the beginning of time as we know it. In the beginning was the Word, and then the whole new heavens and the new earth happens, and now we're eternity past time, eternity future. God is outside of that. God is outside of that. He sees the timeline, and he meets us in this timeline of where time began and where time will end. But he's been in eternity past, and he still is in eternity past. He's been in eternity future, and he's still in eternity future. He sees eternity future. He sees where he's bringing you. He sees how he's getting you there, and he's not upset that we have these little trips and these little failures along the way. We need to understand that we are fully redeemed, we are holy, we are righteous, we stand fully sanctified, completed in our walk, in our relationship with God. How else can we with boldness ascend to the throne of God and make our request be made known? How else can we have intimacy with God? We're totally 100% redeemed in our spirit. So our spirit is transformed at rebirth. We have a new spirit. The old is gone. The new has come. But now, God, we still have our old. Our sin is gone, but our thoughts are still like there. When I got saved, all my sin was gone. It was one of the most awesome experiences in my life, was realizing that all my sin was gone. A load was lifted off of me. I couldn't explain it. I was lighter in heart. The green was grasser. The green was grasser? The grass was greener. I was happier. I was like, this is like totally awesome, you know? And then my mind started reminding me of how bad my past was. My mind started reminding me, and not only did my mind start reminding me, but the relationships I had started reminding me, because it didn't take very long to where the relationships that I had that were ungodly, they began mocking me, ridiculing me, you know, even my family. My mother's like, you know, what's gotten into you? Did you get holy or something? You know, your whole family is like attacking you. And then your natural response, which is what you've had your whole life up to this point, your natural response to that is what you've always responded. It's the way you thought. It's your belief system. It's like, why don't you shut up? Yeah, I got saved. What's it to you? You know, and then that's real godly, you know. So God begins to work on our minds, and he begins to change our minds, and he begins to change the desires of our hearts. But he just doesn't come in and do it. He needs your cooperation. He needs our cooperation. If he was just going to come in and do it, then he would have done it when we got saved, and he would have just ushered us right into heaven when we get saved. But you see, there's a process that God wants to bring us through, and even though we are totally sanctified in our spirit before God, we're still going through a progressive sanctification on this earth, which is purifying us, which is making us more holy. It's slowly, glory to glory, as we read in the beginning, line upon line, precept upon precept, transforming us into the image of what we were originally created for in the beginning anyway. What does it say in Genesis? Let us make man in our image. And so he made man in his image. Male and female he made them. Gave them dominion over the earth. They gave it to Satan. Satan and God have been warring. Now Jesus has given it back to man. He's given it to us. His authority back to us. And what was it Luke that said, what, the power of our words. The power of God's word is in us. The power of God's healing is in us. The power of preaching the gospel and going to preach the gospel is in us. And God is calling us to do it. God can write it across the skies if he wants, but he's not, because he limited it. He limited his power to deposit it into us, so that we would be his words, we would be his hands, we would be his feet, right? And it's a slow process that he brings us through. See, God transforms us in the beginning, but we have to work alongside of him. How many scriptures can we see? You can quote some yourselves of that which is our responsibility. 2 Peter 1:5-10. For this very reason, make every effort. Sounds like we got to do something. Make every effort. There's an effort on our part. To add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. And it continues on in verse 10. It ends, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. You be all the more eager to make sure that your election is sure. And if you do these things, you will never fall. Well, I guess I'm not doing that too well. Because I fall. And I think you're right there with me. We're all walking this walk together, figuring out how to do it. John 14:15, if you love me, You will obey what I command. Sounds like that's a choice we have to make, right? It's a decision that we have to make. Colossians 3:5, put to death. See, just in Colossians 3:3, it says you're dead in your sins. But now, two verses later, Paul is saying, put to death. So God has taken our sin and separated it from us, so we are dead to our sins so we can be alive in Christ, but we still have to render that sin as being dead. And that sin will continue to come up daily, step by step, breath by breath, relative by relative, coworker by coworker, the driver in front of you by the driver in front of you, anything that's going to upset you and cause you to lose your Christianity, you know, are things that God is using to refine us to ever-increasing glory, created to be in his image. Jesus said it himself, do as I did, John 13:15. Is that next? Yes. So far, so good. This is where Jesus was up, John chapter 13. They just got finished the Last Supper, and they were arguing. The disciples were arguing over which one of them was the greatest. So Jesus got up and took off his outer cloak and wrapped himself in a towel, and he bent down and he washed their feet. And I said this before, and I'll say it again: even Judas' feet. And he knew what Judas was going to do. And then he got up and he said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. So there's a responsibility. We need to do as he has done, our responsibility. John 6:38, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven, what? Next one. No, is John... Did I miss John 6:38 there? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's there. It's the next one. So we're going to do John 6:38 right now. Go to the next one because I already started going down that road. There we are. And then we'll go backwards. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's recorded that while Jesus was in Gethsemane, he was praying, sweating drops of blood, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will, your will be done. We need to be there doing God's will. Go backwards. We need to set our heart and our mind. It's something we need to do. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, have been raised with Christ. Is anyone here yet resurrected and raised with Christ, fully reflecting the fullness of his glory? No, because if you were raised with Christ, you'd be like, we'd visit you in the cemetery, because that's where the fullness finally comes. So that was kind of like a redundant question. But anyway, since then you have been raised with Christ, that's in the Spirit. Set your hearts on things above, your heart, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and your mind. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Sounds like we need to do something here. We need to do something. Set our hearts. Set our minds. Walk as Jesus walked. Consider your sin dead. Make every effort to. So there's a part that we play in this. Now, does that mean that we sanctify ourselves if we do good enough? No, because there's a lot of people that do a lot of good things, even biblical things, like sharing and giving, and they read the word, but they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit in them, and they're not being transformed because they don't have the power of God in them to transform them. I know people that read the word. I have a coworker that reads the word regularly, and she prays, but whew, I've known her for 30 years. She hasn't changed a lick. She's now since retired, but. But, you know, the language and the drinking when we have our office parties and the attitude, you know, woo, party! You know, it's like, and it's okay. And then we talk about God and reading the Bible, and it's like she knows she can quote it. But for 30 years, I've seen no transformation. Now, I don't know where she is with God. Only God knows where she is with him And he's got that totally under control. That's not my issue. My issue, I got enough dealing with me. So does Jen. So we need to change our hearts. We need to change our minds. We need to think on these things. Philippians 4 says, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, set your mind on these things, right? Even though we play a part in this transformation, it's still God who does the work in us. We simply submit, we simply obey, we simply agree. There's an agreeance that we have to surrender to. First one in my life, I shared this previously, the first change in my life after I got actually the first real conscious change. I mean, when I got saved, I knew I had to give up my worldly ways, so I immediately said I'm not going to drink again ever because I was a partier through the 70s. And if I showed you pictures, you'd be amazed at how God has polished me up. Me standing here right now to what I was like 30, 40 years ago, you'd look at that and be like aghast. But I'm not showing you those pictures. Do it. Do they want to see those? No, I don't have them with me. But I knew I had to stop drinking. And I knew I had to stop associating with certain people. But I was addicted, not to drugs, but I was addicted to weed. I smoked it for years, you know, over a dozen years, and I just couldn't give that up. I couldn't give it up. But I said, I'll never buy it again. So I was making strides. You know, they were little baby steps. I'm just saved. I'm like, all right, God, you can't expect me to like go cold turkey on everything. And and he's like, yeah, I can. But anyway, I still held on to that for a season. I never bought a bag of weed from that time on. I can say that with total 100% conviction, knowing that I'm speaking the truth. But when it was offered to me, oh, that's a different story, you know. And my family, which got high, you know, I religiously found myself in their presence at least once a month, every 4 weeks. It's like, I think I'm just going to go visit my family. I'm just going to see how they're doing, knowing that I would probably end up being able to get high. But then 2 years of that, still walking with God, still going to church, God took it from me. As I was reading God's word, he renewed my mind. He changed my mind about that aspect of my life. I'm reading God's word, Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful or benefits the listener to build them up and to strengthen them, right? And I had a foul mouth growing up partying around people of the world. And it's like, well, I don't want to change the way I talk. I kind of like the way I talk. You know, I like using the F word often when I get angry. You know, what's wrong with that? But I had to change my mind. I had to renew my mind. I had to change the way I thought and align it with Scripture. Not the way that I wanted to be myself and the way that I always was, the way that I had been up until the time that I got saved. I had to change the way I was thinking. And that's what God is calling us to do. We have to work on that glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. Look back at when you first got saved and the person that you were, and look at yourself now. And I bet you'll see progress in the Spirit, because you're persevering, you're pressing in, you're in prayer, you're reading God's word, and you're hoping and praying that he'll give you the strength and the power to change the way you think, to change the way you speak, to change the way you act, to change the way you treat people. Right? Right? You'll see a difference. I hope you see a difference. If you don't see a difference, well, then that's a red flag that, you know, something's amiss. What's amiss? Why am I not being transformed? What is happening here? God said he will transform me from glory to glory with ever-increasing glory, looking more and more like Jesus. If that's not happening and the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in you, then the Spirit may not be in you with the power that it needs to be in you. You might be saved, but you need to get empowered. God's grace is his enabling power, and it's God's grace that gives us the ability to say no to ungodliness. Gives us the ability. See, what does God's grace say? God's grace helps us in our time of need. And we have times of need very often lots of times every day. The need to keep our mouth shut, the need to open our mouths when we have to say something, the need to keep our hands to ourselves, right? We're desperate for that. We need that change. We cannot do it ourselves. I know I tried to do it myself for the first 23 years of my life, and I couldn't change. I wanted to stop drinking. I wanted to quit getting high. I wanted to stop treating people the way I was treating them. I wasn't a happy person. And I couldn't change. I couldn't change. And then God came in, and, you know, lo and behold, 30-some-odd years later, I lost count. 84. It's about when you were saved, wasn't it, Pastor? 84 is around the same time. 35 years. And I see a difference. So I know God's working in me. I love that. I love that hymn. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Amen. He's still working on me. That's like one of my, I love that. I sing that often, especially when I'm struggling. I'm just reminded, oh, I'm so glad you're working on me, and I'm so glad I'm your responsibility and not my own. You know? So we have to play our part. But God, even though when we get saved, our spirits are totally transformed, our souls go through this sanctification process, but it's God in us that still does the work. Philippians 2:13. Oops. Acts 1:8. That's perfect. Let's leave that up there. This is how, you know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what we need the Holy Spirit for. That's what we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit for. All the other stuff are bonuses that come with it. Whether it's the gifts of healing, whether it's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, whether it's praying in tongues or speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues, they're all gifts of the Spirit. Those are all, you know, gifts that if you're in the Spirit, you get. Some manifest themselves more in others than others do, but we all are given gifts. But the main purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be empowered to be God's witnesses. And that with that empowerment comes God's power that works within us to bring the transformation that God wants to do in us to eventually get us to what he originally created us to be, created in his image. Philippians 2:13, what does it say? For it is God. Next. Oh, that one's not in there. You know why? Because we had it previously. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you. Amen? It's not ourselves working it out, although we have to align ourselves and submit to a truth once we understand it and change the way we think. Try to change and try to make those changes and ask God for the power to do it. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us what? Everything we need. God's divine power, which has been deposited in you and I, has given us everything we need for life. And godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and by his own goodness. Amen? It's God working in us. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Another rule or regulation. You see? I'm going to get to that in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we renew our minds by reading the Word. As we renew our minds, we renew our belief system. We change in our lives and what we believe in accordance with God's Word. Then we're transformed. That's when transformation comes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm not really like first in line to test God's will. It's like, okay, test your will, God. You in for a smiting? But it says we can. As we transform our minds, we can begin to understand God's will, begin to live God's will out, and then we can test it and prove that it is perfect, that that's good, right? Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, doesn't it? God is good. God is perfect. And there's no evil in him. We're going to get into that next time, in 4 weeks, where I'm going to be sharing, God's character and how we can trust him. Because a lot of things are going on in this world, and if God's in total control, well, there's a lot of people dying because of a lot of bad things, and a lot of people are questioning, how could a God who's so loving allow such bad things to happen? But we need to understand some things. Preview for 4 weeks from now. You see, we have to see ourselves as God sees us. Amen? We're not sinners anymore. A lot of us might, I know, and I've said it in the past, and now this is something new, a renewed mind for me. You know, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I mean, I was a sinner, but that's not my identity now. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a child of God who sometimes sins. There's a difference in the thought. It's the same thing in a sense, because, you know, we're still struggling with our sin. We're individuals that are struggling with our sin. But we're not sinners saved by grace. No, we are children of God. And we stand before God fully redeemed. We stand before God in our spirit sinless. It's hard to conceive that and to think how God could do that, but his word says that he did. Amen? We're children that sometimes fall into sin. Ephesians 2, 4, and 6. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. While we were still in our sins, we prayed and we believed, and God made us alive with Christ and raised us up with Christ. Isn't that awesome? For it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, and he's done what with us? He's raised us up, past tense. It's already happened. And what has he done? He has seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We need to see ourselves there. God already sees you there because he's in eternity future, and he sees you seated with him there, already completed, already fully sanctified, already, dead to this world because you died. And all the stuff you're struggling with now is gone. God has taken what he did when he deposited his spirit in you and has fully brought your soul to line up with your spirit. Because that's what this walk is all about. Our soul is our heart and our mind and our will. And it's a matter of our heart, our mind, and our will aligning with his. And our heart and our minds and our will be 100% in alignment with his, because we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Amen? And that's a process that God is doing. But we have to first realize that we're already there in eternity future. And fortunately for us, it's not dependent on us. As I said, God knows how he's going to get you from here to there, to be seated with him in all glory. See, we don't perform Christianity to bring about transformation. This is what I think is what's wrong with our penal system in our country, is we try to rehab criminals by teaching them how to act correctly from the outside in. And it doesn't happen from the outside in. It only happens from the inside out. There has to be a change of mind. There has to be a change of heart. Your actions, what was the story of the little boy in school? Teacher said, they were all standing up, or they were all sitting down, one or the other, or I'll choose one. She told everybody to stand up, and he sat down. She goes, you need to stand up. And he said, no, I'm sitting here. She goes, everybody's standing up, stand up. He said, all right, I'll stand up. But in my heart, I'm sitting down. You know? The actions, you know, complied, but there was no substance to it. There was no change of heart. So we don't perform all these things. We don't do all these things that we have to do in order to bring about the transformation. At salvation, we're transformed immediately by God from being dead in our sin to being dead to our sin. We're transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from a sinner to a saint, from a hater of God to a lover of God, from a child of wrath. We once were children of wrath, but now what are we? We're children of God. He's adopted us, and he called us his own. Isn't that awesome? Let me explain it in this way, as best as I can. And this was on a website that I read, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And I'm going to do the best that I can to explain it, but I want to give you the source because it's not mine. Transformationprayer.org, Ed Smith and Joshua Smith wrote this. I've read it through a few times and hoping that I get it, and I don't want to read it through. I actually want to, you know, speak it through as best as I can remember. But they likened this trip that we're on, this process that we're on, to our lives being us carrying a suitcase. And the suitcase is extremely heavy because it has all of our sin, past, present, and future in it, and it has all of our lie-based core beliefs that we had before we get saved. We're carrying the weight of our life. And then we see a cross in the middle of the road. And as we approach the cross, we see a man on it that's crucified, and there's a sign on it. And the sign says, debt canceled. And as we approach, we see it's Jesus. And we ask him, and we see that he's dying for our sins, and we become remorseful for what has caused him to hang there, and we ask him what we should do. And he said, open up your suitcase. So we bend down, we open up the suitcase, and all of our sin from our life is immediately transferred onto Jesus. And the sign that said, debt canceled, has your name on it now. The debt is canceled. You are sinless. You are redeemed. You are there with Christ on the cross. But then everything goes dark, and you realize Jesus died, and you're there with him in the tomb. Romans says that we died with him. We were buried with him. And if he has been raised to life, we'll be raised to life also. So your name, debt is canceled. Your sin is on the cross for him. Everything you've ever done, he dies and you're with him in the tomb. And then light starts to break through the opening of the tomb. And Jesus gets up and walks out, and he brings you with him. Amen. He's resurrected. You're resurrected to new life. And you look down, and next to the stone that covered the tomb is your suitcase. And Jesus says, pick it up. But it's still pretty heavy. It's a lot lighter because your sin isn't in it, but it's still heavy because it has all of your lie-based core beliefs that you've gathered through a lifetime of not really caring about God one bit. You know? I'm not going to get into political issues. I could here at this point as far as what you might believe and what you don't believe, but there's things that we believe before we meet Jesus that God has to change. God has to change. And we have to agree with what God's word says in order for that change to come. If God's word says something and we choose not to change, then we're not going to be transformed. We can go through our whole Christian life being saved, having our sins forgiven, but carrying that suitcase our whole life with no transformation until we die. That is a possible for something to happen. So we grab our suitcase and we start walking with God. And as we're walking with God, we see that as we were resurrected and we came out with him and we started walk with him, we are bright white ourselves as he is white. because we've been transformed into his likeness. In the spirit, we've become like him. And he tells us to continue to follow him. And then we follow him, and then all of a sudden, life comes up. Or reminders that you used to think about yourself, about how worthless you are, and how you're never going to amount to anything. Or you run into someone who betrayed you, and now Jesus is telling you, as you read his word, that you need to love your enemies and you're forgiven, you need to forgive them, and you're like, what? I need to do what? I want them dead, you know? I want them hurt in the way that they hurt me. And Jesus is like, you need to change that thought. You need to think my way. And you need to forgive them and let them go. And you forgive them and you let it go. And that weight comes out of your bag. And we're transformed. And the process that we go through this life as we follow Christ, the bag should be getting lighter and lighter and lighter as we go. Amen? Those of you who have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 1. I always said this was my favorite book, and my gosh, It's just getting more favoriter and favoriter as I go along. That's just so awesome. We're going to read a little bit here, and I'm going to try to make this extremely quick because we're just about wrapped up. We're closing. We're closing here. We're going to read this, and I got a few more comments, and then we'll pray, and we'll go. So even though this is a lot, this is it. Oh my gosh. Start in verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done what? Blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places. We're in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. He has, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed. Us in the beloved. In him, what? We have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire full possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I, Paul, praying for the saints in Ephesus, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you are called? What is the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, those who believe. According to the work of what? His great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority, all power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who dwells in it. And you were dead in your trespasses in sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. for you've been saved by grace. Not only did he make us alive together with Christ, he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This has happened. We're not experiencing it, but if it's saying it's happened, it's happened. It's in the Spirit. So that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For what? We are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Amen. Amen. Transformation comes by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind comes from the washing of the water of the Word. The renewing of our mind is not just reading the Word and kind of acquiescing to it and saying, oh, that's nice, yeah, I can kind of see that. No, it comes when it's challenged with lie-based core belief. It's a lie because it doesn't align with Scripture. And when we're confronted with it, we have a choice. We can remain in it and not be transformed, or we can agree with it and begin transformation, at least in that facet where God is speaking to our hearts at that time. And we must see ourselves as God sees us, fully redeemed, fully sinless, holy, righteous, seated with him. You are, I am, we are seated with Christ already. He's going to get you there. We just need to surrender and to submit and to work it out. Please stand up, and we have the same scripture that we started out with. Bring that up, Genevieve, please. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces, how can we have unveiled faces? We have unveiled faces because we stand before him holy and righteous, and we can see him, and we can experience him, we can have intimacy with the God of all creation. So with unveiled faces, we reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for making us dead to our sins that we might be alive with you. Thank you for raising us up and seating us with Christ in the heavenly realms. As your word says, we're hidden with Christ in the heavenly realms. Thank you for the work that you've done in our spirit to regenerate us and bring a new birth and to cause the old to be gone and the new to come. Thank you, Father, for that work that you did and the work that you're continuing to do in us. Help us to do our part, Holy Spirit. Immerse us, Holy Spirit. Saturate us with your presence, with your glory, with your goodness. Come and fill us up. We invite you even now, Holy Spirit, to come and take residence in our heart, even more than when we walked through this door, that you would have control of our lives, that we would surrender control of our thoughts, our minds, our habits, our patterns, our thought processes, the way we act, the way we treat people, the way we speak would align with your truth, and your truth would change who we are, would transform who we are, and you would do the work in us that you want to do. So, Lord, we open up our hearts, we open up our minds, and we just open all that we are to you, and we pray, Holy Spirit, come and breathe afresh and breathe anew upon us, that our lives would be lives that honor you and glorify you. And now may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you. And may he grant you his peace, his shalom. In Jesus' name, amen. We have prayer up here for anybody that wants prayer, that needs prayer. In the back fellowship hall, there's coffee and there's probably some snacks. Come on back and get to know and fellowship with people. You're more than welcome. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.